You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From RealGhostStoriesOnline.com, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski back with you again for another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a show filled with your stories that have been written into us, called into us. We share them back here on the show and, of course, invite you to send in your stories every single week. Just go to our website at RealGhostStoriesOnline.com, click on the Tell Us Your Ghost Story button, and share your ghost story. Of course, share the show. That helps us grow, lets everybody know that we exist, and it helps us get more ghost stories and helps us do a better show every single week. And be sure to press that subscribe button as well so you don't miss any future episodes of our program. All right, on today's show, got, as usual, a handful of some creepy letters. And also, we have a good call on the line as well that is probably going to freak you out just a little bit. Phone number, if you want to call in, is 855-853-4802, 855-853-4802. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you got about 2 minutes to leave your ghost story. So what's a nice way of saying this?
Expedient.
Expedient? Is that... I don't know how I would take that if someone said, would you please be expedient?
I don't know.
Expedient, prompt, get to the point. That's
there
right.
There you go.
Get to the point. Or just call back 5 times. I wish there was a way to make that thing a little bit longer, but unfortunately this time there is not. If you've got a really good story, I may just call you back. And of course, if you have a an interesting idea for the show, an interesting topic, you can let us know as well through the website at RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. All right, call or story letter? What do you think we should start off with here today?
Let's start with a call.
Start with a call. All right, let's go to the phone lines from Real Ghost Stories Online. Hello.
Hi, so I'm listening to your podcast while I'm driving back and forth to work and loving the show. Thanks for putting it out there. But I needed to tell you about my sister and her little boy. She was standing at the bottom of the stairs with, he was about 3 at the time, and she took his hand, and they took 1 or 2 steps, and he stopped. He turned around, and he looked up, and then looked down real slow, and then turned around and walked up the stairs with my sister. They got to the top of the steps, and he turned to my sister and said, Mommy, did you see that man? Now, there was no men in the house at the time. It was just her and him. And my sister was, she said her blood just ran cold, and she turned to her son and she said, what man? The one that tapped me on the shoulder. And then this little boy proceeded to tell my sister what he was wearing. A vest, a top hat, shoes, and brown pants. And that was all, like, the little boy wasn't afraid. My nephew, he wasn't afraid at all. But my sister was petrified. And there was always one room in the house that was cold. And the dogs would bark. They would just start barking for no reason, and they would always go to this room that was always cold. And they never saw him again. They don't live there anymore, not because of the haunting, although she was scared, but because things just started breaking around the house, and they got an opportunity to move out, and they did. And my sister's glad that they moved out.
Thank you for that call. Why is it that it seems that it's children and animals, more so than not, that see these things?
I wonder if it's because they haven't learned to be afraid. You know, I mean, I don't know how old you start telling a child, don't be afraid of ghosts or to be afraid of a ghost. You know, when they're that little, they don't know any better.
Is it learning to be afraid, though? I mean, if you're afraid of something, I mean, it can still trouble you. Or is it, are you more in tune? Are you more, I mean, because there's the thought process of, you know, you're very little, you're just entering the world. And if this energy that you are was essentially something else before, you know, on some other plane, are you still more in tune then to that other plane? You know,
that could be it. I tend to think that children are more open to the idea because they haven't been told
that doesn't exist.
Right.
But does telling really make you not see that? I mean, that's the argument that I get confused with.
No. But, you know, I mean, there are plenty of people that are grown adults that see things and then they try to use logic to talk themselves out of what they saw.
Like that didn't really happen
right.
Over and over. And then
right.
It's an interesting phenomenon, too, because you hear the stories of essentially where it's children, pets, and elderly, too, where you a lot of times hear of elderly people who are seeing things on the other side, especially really near death. And yeah. And again, it's another, that's where my mind goes is, okay, maybe as you're on the front and the back end of the energy plane that you are going into whatever it is, coming into whatever you're coming into and then going out of whatever you're going out of, maybe you get more tuned into that.
Like a sliding door that hasn't closed all the way yet?
Yeah, exactly. And okay, now it's opening again and now you're starting to see it. I don't know. That's just one of those things I've always wondered about. And here's another thing that that call kind of came to my mind or brought to my mind. So she saw the old man with the top hat.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like, obviously, this is a character from another time period.
Right.
Obviously. Now, my question is, why is it that most ghosts that we see only go back so far? You don't hear of a lot of BC ghosts. You know, it's like, you know, in Britain, and we get calls and we get stories from across the pond quite often, and their ghosts tend to go back a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they also, there's always kind of like a cutoff point where, I don't know, it's very rare to hear of a ghost like beyond 1500 or so, or where you could place where it may have come from.
Well, I think once you get back that far, it's hard to tell. I mean, you have to really know your history to say, okay, this ghost was wearing such and such piece, so they are from the Gilded Age.
Sure.
I mean, you would really have to know what you're talking about. Top hats, that kind of narrows down your time.
Yeah, but I mean, I think if you look at the history of the earth and how long it's been around, you don't really, there's not many cavemen ghosts, you know, you don't really hear of that. Or, you know, although I take that back, because don't they say like some of like the Aztec ruins and stuff, don't they have hauntings?
Oh yes.
Okay, well, there you
and
go.
We've actually experienced one in Mesa Verde at one time.
Now, how long ago was that? What time period?
Oh my gosh, I just graduated high school, so this was about 14-15 years ago.
No, I mean the Aztec period. When was that?
Well, this particular tribe, that I believe the cliff dwellers were, you know, a couple thousand years ago.
Okay.
I believe. I don't take me for sure on that. I don't know.
Okay.
But they were there.
Now, what's your story? What happened there?
Well, my mom's always been extra sensitive, we'll mm-hmm. say, to energy. And I guess when she was a little girl, she had an imaginary friend who was a Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went to Mesa Verde we were at one of the ruins, and she saw a little Native American boy. And then she turned to look at me and said, "Did you see that person?" And there was nobody there. And so my dad and I, being the immature ones in the group...
Did you see it?
No, I did not. Okay. But we heckled her about it. And right after that happened, there was this strange creature. It was like a bird that kind of decided to dive bomb us. And I swear to God, the thing stopped in midair like a hummingbird, turned around and looked back at us, and then flew off. My father and I both saw that.
Birds don't just stop in midair, I mean, unless it's a hummingbird.
And this was not a hummingbird. This thing was like a crow.
That's one hell of a crow.
Yes.
They are very talented birds, though.
Yes.
You are aware of this.
Yes. I've heard that they have the intelligence of a small child.
They do. There's going to be crow armies rising up here at some point. Anyhow, continue on these stories.
But I tend to think that that was maybe the animal spirit of whatever she saw getting back at us. And I found if you ever heckle my mom about something she saw, whether you saw it or not, something immediately will happen to you.
Like bad?
Like you'll trip and fall, or a bird will try and attack you or something. Something really strange.
We got a lot of birds around here. Especially a lot of crows. So I'm not going to heckle your mom about that. But yeah, no, that's interesting. But wow. Birds are the crows specifically, very intelligent animals. And you look at me very strangely when I talk about the crows. But there's actually been experiments that have been done with crows where they can use tools to get like food out of containers and vials and such. And it's like deductive reasoning and multi-step processes. It's not just like they're pecking. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I saw a group of them outsmart you one day. So yes.
Yes, they did outsmart me. They did. See, we bought a bird feeder and put it out on the deck thinking, oh, great, some birds. And the thing is, you attract, and I'm unaware, I'm not well into the world of birds and what sort of bird feeder you need to attract songbirds alone. We got one that essentially attracted everything with wings. And they all came over, the good birds and the crows. And the crows, essentially, I'm surprised four of them didn't get on the corners of this thing and just take the feeder away.
Right.
But they were all essentially hovering on this thing and shaking the bird feed out of it, and it just became a mess all over our deck. And I thought, all right, you know what, I'm gonna go after the crows. So I get the BB gun out,
and I've had the bird feeder less than a day at this point, and my words to him were, please do not shoot a hole in my bird feeder.
And I thought I had a great shot because it wasn't that far away. Aim the BB gun at the crow on the bird feeder thing. I'm gonna hit the crow, he's gonna fall down. We got one down. The crow gets away in the split second of the BB gun firing.
And there's a nice through-and-through hole through my brand new bird feeder.
Yeah. Now, the fun part came in when I tried to return the bird with the bullet hole in it.
The only thing that would have been better is if it had blood and feathers around the hole.
Yeah, but we got a new bird feeder, and there's no bird seed in it right now.
No.
We should probably fill that or move it or something. I just don't want the crows back. And I have been trying to shoot the crows in the yard.
Yeah.
And I wonder if crows, if that's like a bad thing to do, because they are, I don't know if their feathers are like a Kevlar vest of some sort, but I swear I've hit some of these things. I've seen some feathers fly up and they just go right away. They're like the abominable birds.
They are.
Is there anything like bad luck about shooting a crow or anything?
I don't know, unless it's somebody's animal form spirit.
And there I am trying to kill it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Let's go to a letter. If you have a real ghost story, you can write into us, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click on the Tell Us Your Ghost Story button. And please hit that subscribe button. This letter comes into us from Carrie. Carrie writes in, I have always been sensitive to paranormal since I was a very small child. Growing up, my mom worked in nursing homes as an LPN and RN up until she retired. Of all the things I could tell you, many of my strangest experiences happened while visiting her at work. One of the things that sticks out of my mind the most occurred one night while my mom was working the midnight shift. She had called me to ask me to bring her something to eat. I've always been a night owl, so I arrived at the nursing home and brought her dinner. I am lead over the nurses in the nurses' station, talking to her as she ate. Suddenly, a woman in a wheelchair comes very close
to almost running me over. I moved and, being polite, said, "Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me." Mom looked around and looked at me confused. She asked who I was talking to. I said, "That lady in the wheelchair." She stood up and looked over at the nurse's station and said, "I don't see anyone." When I looked back, the woman was gone. However, on the wall near all of the nurse's stations were emergency stations with fire extinguishers. Encased in glass, you could clearly see her reflection in the glass of the door covering the fire extinguisher. I pointed to it, and my mom gasped, able to see the woman, too. Another event that comes to mind again occurred in the nursing home, this one a different building. For you to understand the story, you should know that there's a common occurrence with nursing home patients called sundowners. Sundowners is where patients with dementia get really confused and agitated, sometimes even aggressive in the evenings and at night. Again, it was the midnight shift, and I was talking to my mom and a CNA that worked with her. There was a lady with a particularly bad case of sundowner syndrome. She would scream out all night long. The screams usually consisted of, "Help me!" When staff would check her, she would be fine, and as soon as they would leave the room, the "help me" screams would continue on. My mom always felt sorry for her and thought that must be a miserable existence. When she died, my mom was sad yet happy for her to be out of that mental torment. The story occurred 2 days after that lady passed away. We were standing at the nurse's station talking when suddenly we heard that cry, "Help me," again. My mom and the CNA both said, "Oh, great, Mrs. And we'll leave her name out, is at it again." The death had been so recent that it took a second for it to hit them both that she was dead. The CNA began to cry and ran to the bathroom and had actually wet herself. My mom, who had always been very open, went down to her room and told her that she had passed away and it was time to go be with Jesus. The yelling stopped. I hope she found peace. There you go.
Well, I have to say the scariest Halloween I ever had was the year my mom took us trick-or-treating at the nursing home.
That's cruel.
No.
That's cruel.
It was awful.
You didn't have a good experience trick-or-treating at the nursing home?
No, because I have to say...
Had you ever been in a nursing home previous?
Yes, I had.
Okay.
I had. And these people were more... near the very end. I mean, they were probably the ones that were experiencing like the sundowners. They were not just older.
So it was almost like a hospice care,
yeah,
than it was a nursing home where they're getting the ice cream cart.
In my memory, yes, it was.
Okay.
It was more that it wasn't just like visiting an assisted living. It was scary.
Dementia patients. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's probably not the best place to do a haunted Halloween with the kids.
Well, the reason we did it, growing up in Texas, you know, most of the time Halloween, you're fine temperature-wise, but we had a freak cold snap that year, and so my mom remembered that they were doing that, and so we still got to trick-or-treat, but that was the price we paid.
So what was, I remember we did that 1 year at a nursing home, and it was beyond assisted living. It was a nursing home, mm-hmm, but it wasn't like the near death where everyone's really, you know, just lethargic and completely out of it. These were old grandmas, you know, there's probably some, Alzheimer's going on there, and they were slow, and they had their walkers in their wheelchair, but they were really very happy to see the kids. They were like, "Here you go, here." And I had been used to going to nursing homes because my great grandma was in one for the good 5-6 years of my life when I was a little kid, and we went to it all the time. So I was used to playing bingo with these folks. So to me, it was like, "Oh, it's Halloween at the nursing home." But I did see some other kids that were like kind of disturbed because I could tell they'd never been to a nursing home.
And I've been to a nursing home before, but my memory is they were hard to communicate with, and they kept wanting to like reach out.
No, they wanted to touch you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They wanted to touch your face and like, "Oh, it's smooth skin." Yes.
You know, and I get that that was probably the highlight of their day to see all these little trick-or-treaters,
sure,
but it was not the highlight of my day.
Yeah. I can imagine. If you're a little kid, it can be probably a fairly scary, and I guess could be somewhat scarring experience if you're not prepared for it. You know,
right.
If that's not what you're, you know, it's Halloween. You're expecting to go to a door and, you know, not have your face groped by an 89-year-old.
Yeah.
It's a little different. It's still a little bit different. There you go. Let's go to another story. If you have a real ghost story to tell us, give us a call. Our phone number, toll-free, 1-855-853-4802, 855-853-4802, or just write into us at Real Ghost Stories Online. Go to the website, click on the Tell Us Your Ghost Story button, and tell us your ghost story. This story comes to us from Zoe. Zoe writes in, I live in New Zealand, and while I do believe in the supernatural to a certain extent, part of me always either ignores it, as I usually think of a reason or natural explanation for it, or remain skeptical. Now, that being said, I'm still very timid and get scared easily. Basically, I get scared when other people tell me things, since I am a visual person. It's about as good as me experiencing it personally, so my timid nature actually causes me to sleep in the same room as my parents until I was about 12. My mother believed in the paranormal and had seen, experienced, and heard things from my grandfather, so she was very tolerant. When my eldest cousin came over as an international student, she stayed at our house, and I naturally agreed to have a shared room with her. I was very happy, so even after she left, I still slept in the room, and for once was actually happy about having some privacy. It didn't last very long. About 2 weeks after she'd gone, at just before the break of dawn, when the room was still sapphire blue, I heard my cousin talking to me. It was a giggly whisper, and I felt a slight coldness, which I'd associated with her coming in from the outside and letting in some cold air. She pretty much said in the giggly whisper, "Move over. I'm cold and tired. Let me sleep. Move over and let me get on." At that time, I was barely awake and still felt the drowse of sleep lumbering at my eyes and clouding my head. So I was ready to move over and let her on the bed so she'd let me sleep in peace, when suddenly I realized my cousin had left 2 weeks ago to stay at her university dorm. I felt my heart racing, but I still felt incredibly drowsy, drowsier than even before, and I came to the realization that it couldn't have been my cousin. I'm barely able to open my eyes with no voice, or maybe I was just dozing and literally felt too sleepy to move. The whole time, this voice was still telling me to move over and trying to climb into bed. I was terrified, but at the same time extremely sleepy, and it terrified me that I was slowly going back into sleep. With my heart still pounding and my dread of sleeping, knowing that something might be there, made me force myself to reach the lamp switch on my desk next to my bed, double bed, and I slept in the middle with my cousin. And when we were over, we had bunk beds, also part of how I realized it could have not been my cousin. The distance was about an arm's length, but I had a lot of problems reaching it, because my arm just felt like it was carrying 100 pounds of extra weight, as well as the fact that I still felt very drowsy, as if I'd been drugged. But somehow, I managed to turn on the light. The moment I turned the light on, all that drowsiness just went away, and in an instant, I could move normally, and of course, no one was in the room. I didn't want to disturb my parents because it was around 5 a.m., but I couldn't get back to sleep after that, and just sat in my bed until the others were up. That night, I went back to my sleeping arrangements in my parents' room. Now, some people told me I probably dreamed it, which is what I'd hoped it to be, but just the fact that the moment I turned on the light and everything stopped and the way she'd said it, or I'd heard her in the cold air, I can't quite believe that it was only me dreaming. That house, which has happened to me, and some other things happened too, but it didn't happen to me, or at least not to the scale of this event. My mom never liked the house, and we've been told by some mediums that she was sensitive, so I'd attributed it to the house. However, as time passed and I experienced more things and heard more things, which I might share in another story, I have come to some conclusion that it might have not been just the house, but actually something attributed attached to us from my mother's heritage. This is also the point I'd like to make. When I hear my cousin talk to me, she didn't speak in English or in Mandarin. This was one reason why I'd think it might have been a dream, or that it was attached to us personally, because in New Zealand, the official languages are English and Maori. So if it was attributed to the house, then shouldn't my cousin have spoken in English? But one thing was for sure, if she did speak in English, I would definitely have realized that it wasn't her much sooner. Or can spirits mimic other languages, too?
I don't know.
Because the cousin's not dead, right?
No, from my understanding, it's not. She's just been gone.
Away, yeah. It's interesting, because I had heard, I don't know if it was on this show or if it was something I'd seen on TV recently, where there was talk of spirits, essentially, being able to be a ghost when you're alive. That there's cases of people seeing an entity that is you, or looks like you at least, and has your energy and mannerisms and voice. And a lot of times it happens when the individual is sleeping, going to other, it's typically in other parts of a home, and communicating with other people in that house. And the person's not dead.
But they just have that much energy that it can split off.
It's almost as if that energy for some, it's like almost out of body experience, if you will.
Okay.
That, and it's not that that individual is the one that's coming back and telling this story of, oh, I went off and talked to Cousin Susie down the hall.
Sure.
It's Cousin Susie saying that they saw Uncle Bert show up in the middle of the night and they had a conversation. And Uncle Bert has no recollection of this whatsoever. But from what, little Susie can think and sees, it was clearly Uncle Bert that was talking, but Uncle Bert's alive and just down the hall.
And it's not just a case of sleepwalking.
No, no. Okay. It's a case of where, like, it's literally an apparition, and it's there, and it walks through a wall or something.
I've never heard
of
that.
So it's been confirmed. So the stories tend to confirm that, in one way or another, that indeed it wasn't, Uncle Bert walking down the hall talking. Mm-hmm. Because it did something like where it just disappeared or walked through the wall or something of that nature.
Okay.
That's a troubling one, because it's interesting on the aspect of wondering, can that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that some sort of, demonic entity or something that's mimicking
something that was comforting?
Yeah, a trusted source,
sure.
A trusted individual, But the thing is, with a lot of the stories that I've heard surrounding cases like that, they don't really do anything bad, and it's not necessarily being a negative force, mm-hmm. or not even necessarily interacting sometimes with the other individual. Sometimes it's just, oh, they saw Uncle Bert walking down the hall and brushing his teeth or something, or just going through some sort of nonsensical action that, really doesn't pertain to anything other than there's the energy and the person walking down the hall, but they're down the other hall for real.
Wow, I've never heard of that before.
That's an interesting one. If anyone has more stories about that area of things, I'd love to hear them. We can maybe do a whole show on that topic. There's got to be probably a name for that. I don't know what that would be, but I've heard a couple stories of that nature before. Phone number to call if you have a real ghost story is 1-855-853-4802, 855-853-4802, or you can always write into us, realghoststoriesonline.com, and click on the Tell Us Your Ghost Story button. And please subscribe to the show, and if you're listening to us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever the case may be, give us some stars, give us a little bit of a review. That would be very, very helpful. And it helps us grow the show, helps more people know about it, and helps us get more good ghost stories to share with you every single week. Let's go to another letter that was written into us. This one comes into us from Stephanie. Stephanie writes in, when I was 13 years old, I went on vacation to Colombia with my parents to see my family. The house that we were going to stay in was very old, and my aunt's husband's parents owned it before us and passed it on to them. It was a big two-story house, and the room I was staying in was downstairs with my cousin at the time, who was 12 years old. One night I woke up and I was extremely thirsty, so I decided to get a drink of water in the kitchen that was right across my room. When I reached for the cup, I noticed a figure on the corner of my eye on my left side. At first, I thought it was my grandma, since she woke up really early almost every night, and when the figure got closer, I realized it wasn't my grandma. All I could see was a gray silhouette with a white, long t-shirt. I tried to make out the face, and that's when I realized that I was looking at something that was not human, but a ghost. I was so frightened, but for some reason, my first reaction was to throw the glass cup at the figure. What freaked me out more was that the cup went right through the figure and shattered all over the floor. I never in my life ran so quickly. I raced up the stairs and threw myself on top of my parents. I know I scared my parents because the first thing they asked me was, "Why are you so cold?" I was shaking, and somehow I was able to tell them what I just saw. My dad has also seen strange things in his time, so he believed me. He told me to come with him downstairs, and I was frightened, but I decided to go since my dad would be holding my hand. When we went downstairs, there was nothing or no one to be seen. But then I saw something that scared me even more. The empty glass cup that I threw at the figure was on top of the counter, half full with water. I ran upstairs and tried to fall asleep, although I was terrified. The next morning, I woke up and went downstairs where everyone was eating breakfast. My dad had already told everyone what I experienced, and I asked everyone if they had heard a glass break last night. My aunt told me that her husband's father died of a heart attack one night in the house while getting up in the middle of the night for a drink of water, just as I did the night before. At that moment, I realized that the ghost I saw was him. A few days later, my family and I were eating dinner in the dining room when my father said, "Who's that old man sitting outside on the backyard bench?" Everyone turned around and said there was nothing there. But when I looked, I saw the man my father was speaking of. He had a hat on and was staring at an old tree they had in the backyard. I told my father I saw him, and we both decided to go outside. When we did, the old man was gone. But for some reason, I felt like walking up to the old tree, and then I saw a heart carved into the wood with an E and A in the middle. I went inside and asked my aunt's husband whose initials those were. And he told me that his parents carved their initials in the tree when they moved in right after they got married. I was still a bit shocked about what I saw, but at the same time a bit relieved that it was just a family member. That's my story. Thanks.
You know, one thing I'm noticing from the stories tonight are a lot of them are saying that I have a family member who's also sensitive, or I have a parent who's also sensitive.
You think it's something that is genetic, that's passed along?
Well, I'm wondering that. I mean, because I'll be right in that boat and say, you know, my mom is much more sensitive than I am, but there have been times where I have felt things as well, or I know that she's felt them much more. And so it makes me wonder if that is some kind of genetic link there.
Where you can be more sensitive to one thing or the other. And that's... It's one thing to be sensitive, and I think it's a whole other level of it when you can actually see the figures.
Sure.
Too. You know, that's really what's kind of interesting to me. When, you know, some folks will walk into a place with, you know, documented hauntings and have absolutely nothing strange happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but right across the hall, they're hearing parties outside the door, and there's weird things going on, and that the other party doesn't, or one person hears that the other person doesn't, and one person sees the people in the hall, the other person doesn't. So that's something I'm wondering if it's genetic. Is that all it is? Is that something that you can't learn essentially to see ghosts?
No.
No matter how much you want to.
Right. I know some of us really, really want to, and then some of us do, and it's not much fun.
Sure. But then you have to wonder, can you only see, if you are sensitive to it, can certain people see certain types of ghosts and other people see other types of ghosts? Like, or are there certain type of ghosts that can make themselves known to everyone, and people who are sensitive are only going to pick up on maybe the good ones?
See, I think paranormal can happen to anybody. I think anybody can see a ghost or have an event happen to them. But when I say sensitive, I mean like you go into a place and you get a bad feeling for one reason or another. And there's nothing that you're seeing. There's nothing, you know, happening. No things are flying off the wall. But mm-hmm. You just have this overwhelming feeling. It's almost like an energy that you're picking up on. And then, you know, you can either find out what happened there or, you know, or choose not to.
Which is like where you sometimes have the sensitives who will walk around a crime scene and be able to say, okay,
yeah,
I can tell so-and-so did this here or that there. That's more sensitive than necessarily someone seeing
Sure.
A ghost with their, you know, with their eyes.
And it's not quite to the point of being a full medium, you know, mm-hmm. where you can tell what's going on, but you can just get a feel, or the hair will stand up on your arms. I have to say, my mom and I were both completely creeped out when we went to New York, and we actually went to Ellis Island, and that was one of the strongest energy places I've ever been.
And that's interesting, because did a lot of people die on Ellis Island?
I don't think a lot of people died on Ellis Island, but you have to think about all the energy of people either being excited that they've arrived, or the dread of whoever didn't make it across on the voyage, somebody didn't survive, or the family members left behind. You know, there's a lot of mixed feelings going on when you flee and you, or you're starting a new life over.
What happened with, because maybe I'm wrong about this, and someone can, I'm sure, correct me or tell me the factual history on this, but at Ellis Island, when you got over, if you were disease-free, you're in. Wasn't there like a holding facility for diseased individuals where they didn't want to integrate them into the rest of the world or into the rest of the country, where they held them in some essentially like wards until either they got better or died?
I don't know that for sure, and I don't remember when I took the tour of seeing any facility like that. I do know that there were some that were sent back, you know, and that's a whole nother source of dread.
It's one of those places where it's interesting to contemplate of why that would be a haunted place. But you're right. There's a lot of energy there. It's almost like somewhat, I guess, like a cemetery, where there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of emotions that are taking place in a cemetery, especially with the living who are mourning the loss of someone. And but those living people get on and they move on. Just like Ellis Island.
Sure.
You know, you may be mourning, you may be going through those emotions, but you get on and they moved on. But those emotions were expelled in that one place.
Yeah.
So is that energy somehow lingering and doing things? Because I almost think if you're going to haunt a place, you have the mindset of, okay, either you're going to be haunting a geographic area where you spent a lot of time, or you have loved ones at, you know, or right where you died, I guess, if you're stuck to a certain area. A lot of people don't die in cemeteries.
No.
And a lot of people don't spend a lot of time in cemeteries, other than me.
And
other
that's
people
true.
Who enjoy wandering around cemeteries. I'd be one of the people who'd be haunting a cemetery, because I enjoy the cemetery. But a lot of people, that's not the place. But you have a lot of people who go, and that's the first thing you think of is haunted cemetery.
And see, I don't get that. I think people would probably go back and be someplace that was significant during their life.
Sure.
You know, someplace that was either a source of happiness or someplace maybe that they were killed at and they're unfinished and they are, you know, looking for a way back.
Are you trapped around the area where you die? Where you die if it was like, you know, unforeseen death? That's an interesting.
Well, I don't know. You hear a lot about, you know, a tragic death, and they say it's haunted, mm-hmm. you know?
And then the entities stay there. Oh, the questions that the show brings up. And then, of course, no answers ever to be found. If you have a real ghost story, please call in 855-853-4802, 855-853-4802. We would love to hear it, of course, right in on our website. At Real Ghost Stories Online, click that Tell Us Your Ghost Story button, and we would love to hear it. And if you're listening to us on iTunes or Stitcher, please give us some stars. That helps us grow, helps us do really good in the ratings. As of this recording, we're in the top 5 in the natural sciences section, which is awesome.
Yes.
So thank you very much for the support there. And cracking the top 250 of all podcasts that exists on the planet. So that's pretty exciting. That means there's a lot of people listening to the show, and there is quite a few. We have thousands of listeners to every episode. So thank you so much. Keep up the support, and we'll keep doing the shows for you here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, Tony and Jenny Bruschi, take care.
Hey! Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.